الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء فاتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله وأحسن الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم شر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. After giving thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and praying his steadfast blessings upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, we will continue today inshallah with the reading of the book Al-Arba'un. What we will do today, inshallah, will be an offshoot of the discussion on the hadith of Abu Ruqayyah Tamim ibn Aus, the seventh hadith which we read last week, Ad-Din al-Nasiha. When we spoke about the fact that he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that Ad-Din al-Nasiha, the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that the deen is sincere advice, or deen sincere. He said, they asked him, alayhi salatu wasalam, Tamim ibn Aus said, we asked, kulna liman, to who, sincerity to who? And then he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, lillahi wa li kitabihi wa li rasulihi wa li a'immati al-muslimina wa a'ammatihim. That being sincere with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wa li rasulihi wa li kitabihi, and then his book, and then wa li rasulihi, then his messenger alayhim salatu wa salam. And while we were discussing being sincere with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, we mentioned an important aspect of being sincere with the Prophet. You mentioned an important aspect of being sincere with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that aspect is al-iman bi kulli ma haddatha bihi ar-rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Al-iman bi kulli ma akhbara bihi ar-rasul alayhi salatu wa sallam. Believing in everything the Prophet narrates to us alayhi salatu wa sallam, whether the matter is from the matters of things that had gone past, or the matter is from the matter of what is happening presently, but not around us, but or the matter is from the matters of things that shall happen tomorrow. This is because despite the fact that people will say they love the Prophet Muhammad, people will say they believe in the Prophet Muhammad, so you will see that this aspect of truly, truly having iman, accepting as true, making tasdeeq bil qalb wa nutq bil lisan wa al amal bil jawarih, that is making tasdeeq with our qalb, that is affirming it with our hearts and saying it with our tongues, and then acting upon the implications of what we affirm in the heart and say with the tongue. In terms of the narrations from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it is very small in the minds of many Muslims today that something comes from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they accept it as true. It's rare. especially in those who like to be deceived by the Iblis, make them feel some vainglory in themselves. Iblis, one of the ways he deceived the people, because this was why he himself went astray. Iblis was deceived by himself. So when Allah says, bow down to Adam alayhi salam, he says, "Asjudu liman khalaqta tina," am I going to bow down to the one you have created from clay? So this is the way of Iblis. He became proud of himself. He became deceived about himself, thinking that because he says, "Khalaqtani min narin, khalaqtahu min tin." So you created me from fire and you created him from clay. So why should I bow down to him? He's trying to tell Allah, remind Allah. And look, something from fire should be superior to something from clay. So one, he is deceived by what he thinks he was created from the strength of what he thinks he was created from. Fire can consume anything. So he thinks, yes, it's better than every other thing. So he thinks he's better than Adam alayhi salam from that angle. And then from the aspect of preference for intellect over text, the text says bow down to Adam. So even if we accept that the fire was superior to the clay, the text says bow down, let the one created from the fire bow down to the one created from the clay. So in trying to say no, but the now giving preponderance for intellect over text, that is over what Allah says. So he gives preference to his intellect that no, but something that is superior should not bow down to something over which it is superior. That is, should not bow down to something that is inferior to it. How can something be superior and then it bows down to something that is inferior? So this act, this aspect of it, is giving preference for intellect over text. So it happens easily with people when they are filled up with what they feel that they have attained of intellectual opulence. So it makes them feel that, oh, we are now professors, we are now think of what they think they are, professor emeritus. So how do you expect? My brother narrated recently that a friend of his attended a conference, and at the break time, he said to the rest of the people, "Excuse me, I want to go and pray." One of the people there said to him, "You still pray? With this your level of education, you still think that there is something called a God?" So the reason why they think he should not think that there is something called a God is because they are drunken. They are stupefied by the level of intellectual opulence about the matter of the dunya. And that's why this set of people, Allah describes them, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, يَعْلَمُونَ ظَاهِرًا مِنَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَهُمْ عَنِ الْآخِرَةِ هُمْ غَافِلُونَ. Yes, they know what is apparent, the apparent things in the matters of the dunya. But in the matters of the akhirah, غَافِلُونَ, they are ignorant people, people of nonchalance, regarding the matters of the akhirah. So this attitude does not make people submit to the text, and that thought is satanic. That ability to reject the text because it contradicts what someone thinks his intellect has made him to achieve of rightness in terms of thought, and then for that he rejects the text, that attitude is satanic. From the attitudes of shaitan, as we have described earlier. So it does not make many of the people who feel that they are something intellectually, and in fact the Prophet said this, alayhi salatu wasalam. The Prophet had prophesied, alayhi salatu wasalam, had given some words that people like this will come in the end of time. Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, Imam Ibn Majah reported this hadith. Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, radiyallahu anhu, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam described al-Harj, massive killing that will happen at the end of time. And he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that yaqtulu rajulu akhahu, a man will kill his brother. Wa yaqtulu jarahu, a man will kill his neighbor. Wa yaqtulu ibna ammihi, a man will kill his cousin. Every person kills the other person. In fact, in another narration, he says, alayhi salatu wasalam, la yadri al-maqtul lima qutila wal qatil lima qatala. The one who is killed will not know why he was killed. And the one who kills, if you ask him, why did you kill that person, you kill, I just feel like wasting his life. There is no real reason why he has to kill the person. So while the Prophet described these things to the companions, radiallahu anhu, beware, can these people begin to kill themselves? That's like what Allah says, وَلَا تَقْتُلُ النَّفْسَ الَّتِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ. Do not kill a soul that Allah has honored or Allah has prohibited to be taken, except for its reason. Those reasons, inshallah, will explain them when we explain the next hadith. What reasons, what justifications do the Muslims have to take the soul of the other person? So when the Prophet narrated this hadith, these narrations to them regarding the end of time, he asked the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, أَيَكُونُ مَعَنَا أُكُولُنَا يَوْمَئِذٍ, will we still be in our senses that day? That time when a man will kill his brother, kill anybody that he likes, his cousin, kill him. Give me the money, I won't give you, shoot him. Recently it was reported in the newspaper. A girl Muslims. So look at this example. A boy and his sister were watching TV. It was time to show a football match, Chelsea. The girl wanted to watch movie. It's on the net. So the brother tuned the TV to a channel that shows football. The sister stood up and tuned the TV back to a station that showed had the movie she was interested in. The brother stood up, took up a wood, hit it on the girl, on the head of the girl. She died. So the boy killed his sister. So if you ask him now, why did you kill the sister? So he ran away. When the father heard, he was crying. He was supposed to have fainted when he heard the information. So the Prophet was asked by the companions, alayhi salatu wasalam, will we be in our senses? Look at this question. You will see that if someone kills the other person, is it sensible? So that's why they are asking, can somebody be so sensible that then he kills his sister, kill his brother, kill? Will we be in our right senses at the time? And the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, he says, "Funga ukul aksari zalika zaman, wa yukhlafu lahu haba'un minan nas la ukula lahu." The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, he says, "Funga ukul aksari zalika zaman." Majority of the people at that time, "Funga ukuluhum," their senses will be taken away. "Fa yukhlafu lahum." So those who are going to be remaining on earth at the time, majority of them, haba'un minan nas, worthless, stupid individuals. Haba, like dust, individuals, stupid individuals, la ukula lahum. They don't have any senses at the time. Alayhi salatu wasalam. This hadith is an authentic hadith from the Prophet Muhammad. From one of the riwayat of this hadith, the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, he says, وَيَحْسِبُ أَحَدُهُمْ أَنَّهُ عَلَى شَيْءٍ وَلَيْسَ عَلَى شَيْءٍ. Some of them will be thinking that they are the most intelligent people on earth. Mahal al-Shahid, this is where we need in this hadith. You will be thinking, after all, is there any intelligence any other place? The Prophet said, وَلَيْسَ عَلَى شَيْءٍ. But he's a stupid person. Well, he thinks that because he's attained professorial degree, professor emeritus, and all these, he works in a bank, in a river-based bank. He fornicates with girls. He drives around with cars, making noise in his all around the streets with his car, doing what, just what he likes because he lacks any form of bashfulness. So he thinks, "Who Allah Shaykh?" He's thinking he's upon something. The Prophet said, "Alayhi salatu wasalam, wa laysa ala shay." And he's nothing. He is nothing. Haba. He is a dust. He's worthless, useless individual. Laysa ala shay. He's not upon anything, the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam. So this man that the Prophet describes, alayhi salatu wasalam, And he thinks it's upon something, but it's not upon anything. He's the one who prefers this nothingness of his, that he thinks it's something, to the text of the prophet's statement, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to the text of the statement of hadith, to the text of the statement of the Quran. He says, no, that verse cannot be. Oh no, that hadith cannot be. Oh no, that, then that senselessness becomes the judge in his affairs. So this thing is common amongst the people. Preference of intellect over the text. It's common amongst people who we know as the Boko people. They like to say they're educated. You can't just tell me there's one hadith. You can't just take the hadith like that. And they begin to make all the kind of statements that we know about. So just know where he belongs. This makes us to like to make some little more exposition on this aspect. Al-Imanu bima akhbara bihi Rasul alayhi salam. Believing in all of what the Prophet narrates, alayhi salatu wasalam. Whether it is from the matters of yesterday, like Allah told him in the Quran, in Surah Al-Hud, when he finished telling him about Nabi Nuh alayhi salam. He said, تِلْكَ أَمْرَاءُ الْغَيْبِ نُوحِيهَا إِلَيْكِ مَا كُنْتَ تَعْلَمُهَا أَنْتَ وَلَا قَوْمُكَ مِنْ قَبْلِ هَذَا فَصْبِرْ إِنَّ الْعَاقِبَةَ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. Allah said, تِلْكَ أَمْبَاءِ الْغَيْبِ, all what we have told you about Nuh alayhi salam, they are from the news, information, naba, news, reports of those that had gone past, things you did not see, you were not there, in أَمْبَاءِ الْغَيْبِ مَا كُنْتَ تَعْلَمُهَا أَنْتَ, you Muhammad alayhi salam, you never knew it. وَلَا قَوْمُكَ, these people you addressed, they also did not know about Nabi Nuh alayhi salam. So we give you, tell them about it. So the Prophet says, alayhi salatu wasalam, about Nabi Nuh alayhi salam. Should there be anything in what the Prophet says about Nabi Nuh that is authentically reported from him, alayhi salatu wasalam, and someone in his right senses thinking that he's a Muslim says he does not agree? Does it speak well to say someone is a Muslim says the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, said Nabi Nuh alayhi salam, he says the first Rasul, between him and Nabi Adam alayhi salam is 10 generations. And it is reported that the people of Nabi Nuh alayhi salam, they didn't just start to worship idols like that. These are hadith and Bukhari Muslim. They did not just start worshipping idols. It started from the fact that they made images of their loved ones who were worshippers on the streets. So they made those images thinking that by that they will not forget them. Gradually the shaitan appeared to them and said, mold it, they molded it. The shaitan appeared to them and said, if you can just begin to worship this thing, at least you are worshiping. That happened after their forefathers had gone. So they started to worship those things. So if you say this is from the reasons why taking photography becomes haram, you say, how do you know that Prophet? You know, Prophet said it, alayhi salam, I said, yeah, I can just accept that. Is it not just one Bukhari? And then you begin to make statements that are unprintable about the institution of hadith and the muhaddithun. So this makes us understand that if someone says this kind of a thing, we know that huwa yahtibu ala shay wa laysa ala shay. He's thinking that he's upon something, lakin huwa la shay. He's nothing. Even when he thinks that he is something, he is from those that the Prophet described, alayhi salatu wa salam, hada'un minan nas, la ukula lahu, useless vagabonds without intellect. Because if he had intellect, he will know that the revelation came to the Prophet Muhammad salam, from the Lord of Nuh alayhi salam. Wasn't Allah the who created Nuh, who was there, who now told the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wa salam. And then he tells him, tilka abba'il ghaib, these are from the information that things that happen, you were not there. Yes, thousands. Only Allah knows about years between Nabi Nuh alayhi salam and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So whether the matter is from the things that had gone past or from the matters of things that are happening on the ground, he said, subhanahu wa ta'ala, alif lam mim, ghulibat ar-rum. It is fi adna al-ardi wa hum min ba'di ghalabihim sayaghlibuna fi. He says, alif lam mim. Allah alone knows the true meanings of this alphabet. He says, ghulibat ar-rum. Rome, the Romans have been overpowered. They have been overrun. triumph over in a battle. To see Adnal Arsh in a place that is near, the place where they were overrun is near. Whom the Romans, after they have been overrun in a war, they will soon become winners. So if anyone existed on earth at that time and he did not believe that the Romans, despite being overpowered by the Byzantine Empire, they will rerun and become triumphant over the Byzantine Empire. Anyone who does not believe this, there's a question mark on his iman. There's a question mark on his saying he has nasiha for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So al-iman bima akhbara bihi Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam min al-nasiha. To believe in the narrations from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He went to the heavens alayhi salatu wa sallam. He went above the seven heavens. If you look on the sky, you will not see the heavens. Even if you travel on an airplane, you will not see the heavens. You will not see anything of it. Because you won't even get any near the sun. And the sun and other stars that we know in galaxies and in the constellations of stars and all these we know, he says they are just designs for the first heaven. He says, وَلَقَدْ زَيَّنَّا السَّمَاءَ الدُّنْيَا بِمَصَابِيحَ. So we designed this first heaven with these bright, huge lamps, these stars. So if you travel on an airline and you can't get to a sun, so have you gotten to the heaven? You haven't. The Prophet went further than that, alayhi salatu, until he reached the first heaven, and then the second, and then the third, and then the fourth. And then to a place where no creature can get above. He went above that, alayhi salatu wasalam. And he stood before his Lord, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Before that, he was speaking to the Masjid al-Aqsa. He says, Subhanalladhi asra bi'abdihi laylan min al-Masjid al-Haram ila al-Masjid al-Aqsa. Not only that, in that night, he performed the salah with Anbiya. And he led them in salah. You must believe it. This is where we are going. So you say all this in one night? In one night from Mecca to Jerusalem? In one night? To and fro? No airline can do that today. No plane will do that. From Saudi Arabia to Damascus and back, it is some journey. It's a long journey. From after Isha to before salah to Subh. Not only that he went there, he led Salah, he did all other things that he described, and then he came back alayhi salatu wasalam by the next morning. You must believe it. Al-Iman bi kulli ma akhbara bihi an-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam min al-Nasiha. Believing firmly in every of what the Prophet narrated alayhi salatu wasalam is from Nasiha. And also the things that will come tomorrow, each of what he says about them, alayhi salatu wasalam, we must believe them as a matter of giving nasiha to the Prophet Muhammad. All you need to know is, did he say so, alayhi salatu wasalam? Did the Prophet say that? If he said that, it is true. When he was telling the companions about Al-Masih Dajjal, at the time people like Tamim ibn Aus, who reported this hadith, had not become Muslims. When the Prophet was telling the people about Al-Masih Dajjal, people like Tamim had not become Muslims. So when he saw Dajjal, and he started to tell the people about Dajjal, the only thing the Prophet told him, alayhi salatu wasalam, is, he said, you will see, alayhi salatu wasalam. He said, you will hear that all what Tamim will say to you is what I have been telling you about Dajjal. And yet, Nuwas ibn Sam'an said, radiallahu anhu, in his very lengthy narrations on the matters related to Dajjal, that when the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, told them about Al-Masih al-Dajjal, they felt in their hearts as if they turned their backs like this, they will see Dajjal. The companions, radiallahu anhu. The training he gave to them, alayhi salatu wasalam. And what Allah made them to believe. So when Allah says, Amana Rasulu bima unzila ilayhi min rabbihi wal mu'minun, the companions believed in what was revealed to the Prophet Muhammad So when he told us about Dajjal and the strength of Dajjal, what Allah will make Dajjal to do at the end of time, he believed it so much that they said they felt that if they turn their heads like this, they'll see Dajjal. And it is reported that Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, before he died, because how close, they were just waiting that the Dajjal will come, as described by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They were waiting that the Dajjal will come. And then Isa alayhi salam will come. So Abu Huraira will tell children on the streets, if he sees them playing, he gives them the salam, and he says to them that, convey my salam to Nabi Isa if he comes when you are alive. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu will say to children, if Nabi Isa comes when you are alive, say my salam to him. Because they believe it. No doubt of doubt. It has not happened. So the Muslim must put his iman, must put his Islam and his nasiha to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The level of all he wants to know about the narration is it authentic? Is this the Prophet says it alayhi salatu wa salam, that it's authentic that he said it? That is the truth about those akhbar alayhi salatu wa salam. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam told us many things about that. He told the Prophet, the companions, radiallahu anhu, while he was referring to Hassan ibn Ali ibn Abi Talib, he says, إِنَّ ابْنِي هَذَا سَيِّدٌ. This my child is a Sayyid. Sayyid, a honored person, a honored young man, honorable man, Sayyid. He says, Allah will use him, Allah will soon use him as an abita, one who will bring together ta'ifataini azimataini min al-Muslimin, two large set of people amongst the Muslims. You know what happened? Just 30 years after that, 30 years he also said, alayhi salatu wasalam. He said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that khilafati nubuwa ala sunasan. He said, the khilafah, the rightly guided khilafah is 30 years. So at the end of those 30 years, his son, the Sayyid, was the one who was handing over. At 30 years, he ruled only for 6 months, Hassan ibn Ali ibn Abi Talib. And then he handed Khilafah to Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan. So he brought together between Ta'ifataini, Azimataini min al-Muslimin. But before that time, the Prophet's statement was coming to fruition, the companions already believed it. They were not waiting for it to happen before. They said, okay, if it happens, we know it is true. But it does not happen. They had already believed it. Even those who had died before that incident had believed it before they died. If they did not do so, then there will be problems. So if you don't do so too, there is problem with you. So every Muslim must believe in kullu ma akhbara bihi an-nabiyyu alayhi salatu wa sallam. Everything the Prophet says, authentically reported from the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, must be believed by the Muslim, so that he completely gives nasiha to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Al-Imam Abdullah ibn Wahab al-Misri. Abdullah ibn Wahab al-Misri is from the students of Imam Malik alayhi rahmatullah. He has a riwayah of Muwatta. You know, Muwatta has riwayat. It is said to be about 40. Because the Imam compiled it over a period of about 40 years. So every of his students that comes to him will report what he finds with him at that time. So if you come next year, you might have seen something to him. If you come next year, so there are riwayat. The riwayah of Abdullah ibn Qanab al-Qanabi, the riwayah of Imam al-Shafi, the riwayah of many people had riwayat of Muwatta Imam Malik. From those who reported Muwatta from Imam Malik alayhi rahmatullah, his student Abdullah ibn Wahab al-Misri radiyallahu anhum, he said rahmahullah that qala li Malik ibn Anas, that Imam Malik ibn Anas rahmahullah said, la ta'aradu sunnata wa sallimu laha. It says la ta'aradu sunnah. Don't contradict the sunnah. Don't say, you know, it can't. Don't. La ta'aradu sunnah. When the sunnah comes, don't say, you know, it can be la ta'aradu sunnah. It says wasallimu laha, submit to it. Submit. The what the sunnah says, hadith says, we agree. That is it. Not agreeing because so that the people will not consider you lowly in iman, but agreeing because you agree really in your mind. Because the agreement, we do you say no agree now, they will say kai damboko ne. So we say, okay, we agree. So but the agreement should be agreement wasallimu taslima. Complete submission regarding the matters that the Prophet says. Alayhi salatu wasalam. When Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal was telling us alayhi rahmatullah about the ahadith related to Qadr radiallahu anhu, he says, wa inna batini al-asma' wa stawhasha minha al-mustami'. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal said alayhi rahmatullah that these narrations, the ahadith from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and other ahadith, as you shall see in his statement, he said, wa inna batini al-asma', we must believe in them. Wa inna batini al-asma', even if they are somehow to hearing, the hearing finds them difficult to understand. وَاسْتَوْحَشَ مِنْهَا الْمُسْتَمِعِ. And the one listening to them finds them strange. Even when that happens, he says, وَإِنَّمَا عَلَيْهِ الْإِيمَانُ بِهَا. The only responsibility you have, the duty you have, is to believe in them. وَأَلَّا يَرُدَّ مِنْهَا حَرْفًا وَاحِدًا. And that he should not, no Muslim should deny any single letter from the hadith. He said, he gave us two conditions. He says, وَإِنَّ بَتَنِ الْأَسْمَاءِ وَاسْتَوْحَشَ مِنْهَا الْمُسْتَمِعِ. Even if those things are strange to the hearing, the one who hears them finds them strange. He says, إِنَّمَا that which is upon him, عَلَيْهِ الْإِيمَانُ بِهَا. He's believing in it. عَلَيْهِ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. Says wa alla yarudda minha harfan wahida, and he should not reject any, not a single alphabet. He says wa ghayruha min al ahadith al ma'thurat an al thiqat, and others apart from these ahadith on qadar that have been reported from the trustworthy narrators. So al imanu biha wa al taslimu laha, believing in them and submitting to them. So last week we promised us there's a hadith we like to look in this respect. And like he said, alayhi rahmatullah, he says, وَإِنَّ بَتْنِ الْأَسْمَعِ, even when hearing feels somehow about it, وَسْتَوْحَشَ مِنْهَا الْمُسْتَمِعِ, and the one listening to it finds it somehow. He says, إِنَّمَا عَلَيْهِ الْإِيمَانُ بِهَا. The duty and the responsibility we have is believing in these hadith, because they have come from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, from authentic sources. Qala alayhi salatu wa sallam, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu reported this hadith that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, lawla banu Israel, says alayhi salatu wa sallam, lawla banu Israel lam yakhnaz al-nahab. لولا بنو إسرائيل لم يخنز اللحم. If it were not بنو إسرائيل لم يخنز اللحم, meat will not get sour. Meat, if it were not for بنو إسرائيل لم يخنز اللحم, the lahm, meat, will not get sour. عليه الصلاة والسلام. He says, ولولا حواء لم تخن أنثى زوجها. Wait not for حواء رضي الله عنها. لم تخن أنثى زوجها. No woman will be unfaithful to her husband. That is, we will not find women, you know how they are, we'll come back to that inshallah. If it were not for حواء, that will not happen to women. If it were not for Bani Israel, the food will not get spoiled. And then it begins to smell stench. It begins to stench and have very bad odor. If it were not for Bani Israel, that will not happen. This hadith is reported by Imam al-Bukhari and Muslim. And Imam al-Bukhari is in Kitab al-Anbiya, Kitab al-Hadith al-Anbiya. And in Sahih Muslim is in Kitab al-Rida or Kitab al-Rada. any of them, riba or raza. We find this hadith. In the riwayah of Al-Imam Muslim, alayhi rahmatullah, he says, لَوْلَا بَنُوا إِسْرَائِيلِ لَمْ يَحْبُسِ الطَّعَامِ. If you are not Bani Israel, food becomes more open. The first one says meat. This one says food generally will not get up. وَلَمْ يَحْنَزِ اللَّحْمُ. And the same thing, now brings back cut lamb. Meat will not get up. He says, وَلَوْلَا حَوَّاءُ لَمْ تَخُنَّ أُنْسَى زَوْجَهَا الدَّهْرَ. No woman forever will be unfaithful to her husband. Wait not for Hawa. This hadith is reported by Imam Bukhari and Muslim. And Imam al-Nawawi, alayhi rahmatullah, while he was discussing the first aspect of the hadith, that لَوْلَا بَنُوا إِسْرَائِيلَ لَمْ يَحْنَزِ النَّحْمُ. It's like, wait not for Bani Israel, لَمْ يَحْنَزِ اللحم. That meat will not get far. While he explained this, he said, عليه رحمة الله, قال العلماء, he said, the scholars say, معناه أن بني إسرائيل. The meaning of this hadith is that بنو إسرائيل لما أنزل الله عليهم المن والسلوى, when Allah give them manna and salwa from the heavens, this is أنزل, as if it was revealed, and that was because it was coming directly from the heavens. It says, لَمَّا أَنْزَلَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُمُ الْمَنَّ وَالسَّلْوَى. When Allah sent to them الْمَنَّ وَالسَّلْوَى, نُهُوا عَنِ الدِّخَارِهِمَا, they were prohibited from hiding them, from hoarding them, keeping them. Say, oh, let's keep some. They were prohibited from that. It says, فَالدَّخَرُوا, they were prohibited from that, but they did it. This is the way of Bani Israel. When they were going to the Al-Ardu al-Muqaddasa, what did Allah say to them? He says, اُدْخُلُوا الْأَرْضَ الْمُقَدَّسَةَ الَّتِي كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ وَلَا تَرْتَدُوا عَلَىٰ أَدْبَارِكُمْ فَتَنْقَلِبُوا خَاسِرِينَ. قَالُوا يَا مُوسَى إِنَّا لَنْ نَدْخُلَهَا أَبَدًا مَا دَامُوا فِيهَا فَاذْهَبْ أَنْتَ وَرَبُّكَ فَقَاتِلَا إِنَّا هَؤُنَا قَائِدُونَ. Allah says, when they were told, go in the same place they want to come into now and form a city state. Allah says, go in there. They say, "Inna, we surely we will never do. We will never go there. Lan nadkhulaha abadan. We will never go in there. Madamu fiha. Because the Amalekites were there, and they were told to fight the Amalekites. Allah said, fight them. I will support you against them. You push them out, stay in that land. He says, they say, as long as those people are there, lan nadkhulaha, we will never go there. He says, they say, therefore, fazhab. You and that your Lord who say we should go there, the two of you should go there. Faqatila, the two of you alone, go and fight those people. Inna, as far as we are concerned, hauna qa'idun. We are standing here waiting for you. When you finish the war, now your Lord say he will help you, the two of you and him, go and fight. When you finish, come and call us. We are waiting here. This is the way of Bani Israel. This is the way of Bani Israel. They are told to do something, they will do the opposite. They said so many things about Allah. So many things about Allah. So, we know the stories. In Surah Al-Ma'idah, he says, قَالَ رَجُلَانِ مِنَ الَّذِينَ يَخَافُونَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ أَدْخُلُوا عَلَيْهِمُ الْبَابَ إِذَا دَخَلْتُمُوهُ فَإِنَّكُمْ غَالِبُونَ وَعَلَى اللَّهِ تَتَوَكَّلُوا إِن كُنتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ. Some of them who amongst them who feared Allah said to them, hey, let's go. If we go, Allah will help us to fight these people. Don't forget that Allah had shown you a lot of mercy and he started to remind them of the mercy of Allah. Let's go and fight the war. In the interview, Musa alayhi salam, that was where he declared that these people, I don't want to have anything to do with them again. He says, فَفْرُقْ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَ الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ. He said, Allah, Nabi Musa said, oh Allah, separate me and these people. Allah says, فَإِنَّهَا مُحَرَّمَةٌ عَلَيْهِمْ أَرْبَعِينَ سَنَةً يَتِهُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. That land, that place they refuse to go for 40 years. It is prohibited for them. يَتِهُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ, they will just be walking aimlessly on earth. So when they want to insult somebody, they say he's walking on the earth like Bani Israel. For 40 years, It was a punishment for them because they refused that instruction of Allah. There are so many instructions they refused. So many. So many. Allah was forgiving them. He will forgive them. He will forgive them. He says, اذكروا نعمة الله عليكم إذ جعل فيكم أنبياء وجعلكم ملوكا وآتاكم ما لم يؤت أحدا من العالمين. Look at Allah. Remember Allah favored you. جعل فيكم أنبياء. Many of the messengers, if not all of them, except the few who are Arabs, it's from you. وجعلكم ملوكا. He makes you kings. What is on the earth? وَآتَاكُمْ مَا لَمْ يُؤْتِ أَحَدًا مِنَ الْعَالَمِينَ. He gave you what he had never given to any group of people on earth. They refused. So they received a lot of punishment from Allah as a result. So here they were told not to pile up, not to store the meat. فَدَّخَرُوهَا. But they went ahead against that instruction. He says, فَفَقَدَ وَأَنْتَنَا. So the meat, because they were told to not to store it, they refused and stored it. The fasada wa antana. The meat went bad and began to smell foul. The meat went bad and began to smell foul. Imam al-Nawawi said, alayhi rahmatullah, wa istamarra min zalika al-waqt. From that time, istamarra. The matter continued like that. The Prophet told us, alayhi salatu wa sallam, that لَوْلَا بَنُوا إِسْرَائِيلِ. How did he say alayhi salatu wasalam? لَمْ يَخْنَزِ اللَّحْمِ. If it were not for them, the meat would not get far. Alayhi salatu wasalam. So that is regarding that aspect of the hadith. The second aspect says, وَلَوْلَا حَوَّاءَ لَمْ تَقُلْنَ أُنْثَى زَوْجَهَا. وَلَوْلَا حَوَّاءَ لَمْ تَقُلْنَ أُنْثَى زَوْجَهَا. Wait not for حَوَّاءَ radiallahu anha, our mother, from whom we all came. There is no man on earth except he came from Hawa, except Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. There is only one who did not have a mother. Every other person had a mother, including Nabi Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. So that's why when the people say Nabi Isa alayhi salam is Allah because he did not have a father, why shouldn't Adam alayhi salam be Allah if he does not have father mother? Or in the case of Hawa, why shouldn't she be a god if she did not have a father? If she did not have a mother? Because she didn't have a mother. So that's why Allah says, إِنَّ مَثَلَ عِيسَىٰ عِنَّ اللَّهِ كَمَثَلِ آدَمَ خَلَقَهُ مِنْ تُرَابٍ ثُمَّ قَالَ لَهُ كُن فَيَكُونُ. Easy. كُن فَيَكُونُ. So the Imam al-Hafiz ibn Hajar alayhi rahmatullah, while he was explaining that Lola Hawa, because you know when Shaitan came to seduce them to take from what they had been prohibited to take, he was stealing them from making promises. If you eat this fruit, it will be nice and all those. So it was said that he came to Hawa and then she accepted and then told the husband about it. Husband, let's keep this. And they ate it both. And Allah forgive them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive them. فَتَلَقَى آدَمُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ كَلِمَاتِ فَطَابَ عَلَيْهِ إِنَّهُ هُوَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ. Allah forgive them. The Imam al-Hafiz ibn Hajar, while explaining this part of the hadith, that وَلَوْلَا حَوَّاءُ لَمْ تَقُلْنَ أُنْثَى زَوْجَهَا, he said, فِيهِ إِشَارَةٌ إِلَى مَا وَقَعَ مِنْ حَوَّاءَ تَزْيِينُهَا لِآدَمُ. He said, this hadith is some pointers. إِلَى مَا وَقَعَ مِنْ حَوَّاءَ. They pointed to what came from Hawa, what she did. فِي تَزْيِينِهَا لِآدَمَ, regarding her encouraging Adam عليه الصلاة والسلام الْأَكْلَ مِنَ الشَّجَرَةِ, to eat from the tree. This hadith is helping us understand that point. Hatta waqa fi dhalik. So she was encouraging him until him, meaning Adam alayhi salam, fell into that. He says, وَلَيْسَ الْمُرَادُ بِالْخِيَانَةِ هُنَا. When you say لَمْ تَخُنَّ here, that no woman would be unfaithful to the husband. Yeah, Imam al-Hafiz ibn Hajar alayhi rahmatullah said, وَلَيْسَ الْمُرَادُ بِالْخِيَانَةِ هُنَا ارتكاب الفواحش. The intention here when it talks about خيانة لم تخن أو لم تخن, it's not talking about ارتكاب الفواحش, that a woman went unfaithful to have zina with another man. That's not what it is talking about. It says حاشا وكلا, never at all. It is not. It's not talking about that Hawa went to أعوذ بالله make zina. Allah did not make that to happen to any wife of a Nabi. Abdullah ibn Abbas رضي الله said, Allah, no wife of a Nabi what? No wife of a Nabi was a war, got in this, had illicit relations. No wife of a Nabi did that. Because it is from the greatest insults that will happen to a man, that his innermost privacy becomes a plaything with other people. Fujar. Allah will not do that to the wives of his Anbiya that he sent. Alayhi salatu wasalam. Alayhi salatu wasalam. So no wife of a Nabi watch. Because some of the people say Sahanatahuma, that this verse meant that they committed zina. Ibn Abbas said never. Rabiallahu anhu. No wife of a Nabi watch. And it is not authentic. No wife of any of Allah's messenger or prophet watch. Alayhi salatu wasalam. So don't think that here it meant that she watched, she committed illicit relations with another man. Being unfaithful in terms of that. No. It says walakin bima malat lamma malat ila shahwati an-nafs min akli ash-shajara. But what it is talking about is that malat ila akli ash-shajara, she was inclined, she fell to eating from the tree. Wa hassanat dhalika li adam, and she encouraged Adam to do the same thing. Udda dhalika khiyanatan lahu, that is considered as from being unfaithful to him. You know women like this and like that. So they have their own impressions, what they want. I know what he said, alayhi salatu wasalam. He said, la tastakimu laka ala tariqatin wahida. The Prophet said, a woman will not be with you like that, one way. Hiya hakaza wa hakaza. It's like this, like this. The woman is like this and like that. La tastakimu laka ala tariqatin wahida. The woman is not like that. It's like this, like that. Today you find her, tomorrow you find her. Like that. That is the way they are treated. And that's why he said, alayhi salatu wasalam. He says, istawsu bin nisa'i khaira. Istawsu bin nisa'i khaira. Regularly remind yourself of the need to be nice to women. Remind yourselves about it regularly, of the need to be nice to women. He said, alayhi salatu wasalam, he says, فَإِنَّ الْمَرْأَةَ خُلِقَتْ مِنْ ضِلَعٍ أَوْ مِنْ ضِلْعٍ. He said, because the woman is created from dila, she's created from the reed bones. He said, alayhi salatu wasalam, he says, وَإِنَّ أَعْوَجَ شَيْءٍ فِي الدِّلَعِ أَعْلَاهُ. And the most bent of the reed bones is that. Of most of it, no, it's most bent. Wa in zahabta tukimuhu kasartahu. If you go ahead trying to expand the rib bone, how is it? He says kasartahu. You break it. He says wa in taraktahu. And if you leave it like that, lam yazal a'waj, it will continue to remain what? Bent, like that. He says again, alayhi salatu wasalam, he says, fastawsu bin nisa'i khaira. Remember, you have to be nice to the women. So it's like that with them. It's like that with them. So Imam al-Hafiz radiallahu rahimahullah, he continued, he said, wa amma man ja'a ba'daha min al-nisa'. So regarding all those who came after Hawa from the women, he said, رضي الله عنه, the فخيانة كل واحدة منهن بحسبها. على خيانة من واحدة منهن على حسبها. The unfaithfulness of any woman after Hawa, depending on how unfaithful, how unfaithfulness is that she encouraged her husband to eat something. He was not supposed to eat. But other women, their own unfaithfulness can even be doing zina. Taking alcohol, encouraging a man to go and come. I know when we were younger than this, very, very young, a man fought with his wife and, you know, things like that. Things children hear when they were childhood. So we did not just hear, we witnessed it. And the woman was telling the husband, look, is it not your mate who are armed robbers? Go on, do something. Just, the man was the managing director before he became sacked. So they ate and ate. I know this dunya, how it is. Yes, the dunya is like that. The dunya is like that. Allah takes wealth from the people or takes them away from the wealth. Either he gives you, he will either take the wealth away from you or take you away from the wealth. Oh, when he said Michael Jackson died and he has a debt of $400 million. This was a man before that time, before he started borrowing up to $400 million, he had to sell some of his property. He was taken out of a rented house. And the house he built for himself where he lived was worth over $40 million. He sold all of these things. He had to rent a house. How is that? So either Allah takes you away from the wealth, no matter how much the wealth is, or he takes the wealth away from you. It's either of the two. He takes you away from the wealth, the wealth away. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, when this happens, the woman was not patient. She was saying, do anything. So this is her own unfaithfulness too. And other women too could be any other thing too. So women, when they have been struggling with their husband, stay in the house. Anything you want to do, I will do it for you, bismillah. You want to eat, tell me. Of course, my responsibility. You want to drink? Tell me. You want to wear a liga? Tell me. I'll buy it for you. Anything you want. Just stay in the house. The woman will say, no, I can't stay. I have a certificate like you have. You, why not stay? Simple. The absolute for men is that they should go out and look for what the woman in the house will eat. The absolute for women is that they should stay in their homes. That's why he said, وَقَرْنَ فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ وَلَا تَبَرَّجْنَا تَبَرُّجَ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ الْأُولَى. He says, وَقَرْنَ فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ. Stay in your house. قَرْنَ. Tie your clothes to your house. Many women today, they like to move all around. They are everywhere. Street A, Street B, you see them there. Something is common around us. This is my own observation. I always go out around Zohar driving. I always have some. Most of what I want to do during the day, I do it around Zohar. So when you drive around this time, between 1 and 3 o'clock, you see most of those you see on the street driving, except for public transport, are women. Most of those you see on the street driving, this afternoon period, their husbands have gone to the office, so they should be carrying the car, on the hala, on the anything. They go and start the driving too, walking around the street. If you were to carry out a survey of asking each of them, where are you going to? Where you are going, what are you going to do there? You find that many are just feel that we should take cool breeze outside. So these are their own ways of being unfaithful. And each and every one of them, every woman, will carry her own burdens of her unfaithfulness. May Allah assist us. So the Imam said, alayhi rahmatullah, that women, we should know that وفي الحديث إشارة إلى قصلية الرجال فيما يقع لهم من نسائهم بما وقع من أمهن الكبرى. So this is message for men. You should know that when the women act and do some things, their great grandmother too, Hawa, she also did something. So you should know how to be patient when the woman does anything. Remember that your mother, do you understand? Remember that your mother, in this case, Hawa al-Kubra, she also did something. their own mother too. So it's your mother, it's your mother and her mother. So if the one you have now do some things, know that some things like that had happened before. So he says, وَأَنَّ ذَلِكَ مِنْ طَبْعِهِنَّ. You should understand that that's the way women are. From the way Allah has created them. That is the way they are. He said, alayhi salatu wasalam, he says, مَا رَأَيْتُ نَاقِصَاتِ الْأَقْلِ وَالدِّينِ أذهب للب الرجل الحاضر من إصداقنا. Says, I have not seen a ناقصات العقل والدين. Someone whose intellect is some less, lowly, and her deen is also lowly. He explained it because they asked him, how is our intellect lowly? How is our deen less? Tell us. And he explained, alayhi salatu wasalam. So their intellect is lowly. Because to the witness of a man, you need a woman. You need two women. I showed two fingers. Some can listen. To the witness of every man, you need two women. He says, in case one of them forgets, and to zakira her. So if one of them forgets, the other reminds her. So in that, it didn't say a man forget another man. One man, two women. So that is a naqs in aql. And naqs in deen is that when she's menstruating, she's not praying now. But you are praying. So can it be the same? No. You are praying, she's not praying. So that is naqs in deen. She's not only that. In Ramadan, she will not fast. If she will fast, not in that month. If a woman menstruates in Ramadan, it is not in that Ramadan she will pay it back. If she has to pay it back, of course she has to pay it back, it will be after Ramadan. And you can't compare the two parts. So this, the less, the loneliness in terms of their deen. So he says, I've not seen anyone whose intellect is not so perfect and her deen is not also complete, perfect, like you women. He said, you know what he said? Alayhi salatu wasalam. أَذْهَبَ لِلُّبِّ الرَّجْلِ الْحَازِمِ. A determined, brave man. Easily the woman takes off his intelligence. So he wants to go to his place of work at 8 o'clock. He says, oh, please, try to eat before you go. Eat something. He says, okay, you are preparing something for you. Yes, I'm preparing something for you. He has a plan. Try to eat before you go. So he is hoping that the food is coming. At 7:30, it's just 30 minutes left. Yeah, it's just to fry the egg. In 5 minutes, that one will be ready. So 8 o'clock is supposed to be there. At 5 minutes before 8 o'clock, before the food gets ready. So you see, Azhab Ali Lubbi Rajul Al Hazan. She takes away his intelligence. You know how? He does not know what to do. Is it eat the food or go at 5 minutes to eight? So what you see, you know why we all laugh? Perhaps we may not have an answer. At 5 minutes to eight, he has been waiting since 7:30. So he will be thinking, I go now. Why would I be wasting before? Let me quickly eat the food. He will be thinking, oh, but I will late. So she told him to that. As intelligent as he is, professor, PhD, professor emeritus, the woman cooking the food has made him to become something else. In the kitchen, says, yeah, I've had an illusion, rotten in housing. As intelligent as your own Islam, your own intellect is, and as perfect as your Islam is, she is the one being described the other way, but she's grabbing the intellect on her hands. The Prophet said, like you, I've never seen anything like that. Women. Yet he says the spouse will be in the side here. Regularly remind yourself that you have to be nice to women. You can't do without them. There are positions now people can't come upon except that they are married. You can't assume some positions if you are not a married man. And that's why any child, any young man, from the greatest thing you think you can do for him to him is to tell him that, man, come and marry my daughter. Ah, I don't have money, I will give you. How much do you need? I need 50,000 naira, I'll give you 250. You have made his life, is it not? You have made his day. So you'll be so happy because it's going to change. He's going to become a changed person. Someone was telling me he's just newly married. He said he was before he used to cook for himself, now he became someone cooked for. He said, help me thank Allah. Say Alhamdulillah. So this is the way the women are. Like this, like that. He says, alayhi salatu wa sallam, ya la tastakimu laka ala tariqatin wahid. The woman will not be like that for you. One straight way. She's like this, like that. So when she's doing that, remember your mother, Hawa. So the Prophet told us, alayhi salatu wa sallam, so, wala Hawa'u lam takunna unsa zawja. If you are not for Hawa, none of these things will happen. So we will say we believe it because the Prophet said it. Lawla banu Israel, he says, lam yakhbus at-ta'am. The food will not get us. We believe it. Everything he says, we believe. As long as it is authentic, we believe. If it's not authentic, we don't believe. If it's once it's authentic, the Prophet said it, alayhi salatu wasalam. We believe it. And we are going to accept it like that. Except there is a reason for us, a hadith. Maybe a zahir al-hadith points to something. There should be another hadith that will make us change the meaning. You do not make the ta'wil of a hadith except another hadith. You do not explain out the apparent or obvious meaning of a hadith. Zahir al-hadith. Illa the hadith is akhar. Except with another hadith. This is ta'wil al-mahmud. This is ta'wil that is what? Mahmud. Accepted. Praiseworthy. But the ta'wil, and it is called tafsir or sharh. But the ta'wil of a hadith with just anything someone thinks, like the people of Ra'yu, the Mu'tazila, ma yambagi lahu wa ma la yambagi lahu. What befits Allah or what does not befit Allah? The Mu'tazila, they have a qa'idah. Ma yambagi lillah wa ma la yambagi lahu. What fits Allah and what does not fit Allah? Those things they say fit Allah, they are the ones who coined it too. And those things in their obnoxious thoughts that does not fit Allah, they are also the ones who organized it too. So they use this thing to fall and understand, take messages from the verses of the Quran. So if they say, Allah for quiet, they say, La yamagi lillah an yakuna lahu yadu. It does not befit Allah that he has a hand. That befitting Allah, where did you see it from? From where did you see it? From their intellect. So they base the text over the intellect instead of basing the intellect over the text, allowing the text to guide the intellect. So they base the text on the intellect instead of the other way around. So they control the text using the intellect. The intellect does not agree with it, they throw the text away. If it agrees, they accept. I remember vividly, there are professors in the schools from where I graduated who say they do not believe in the genes because they say they are medical doctors. There are genes. And the whole surah Allah revealed for their sake to tell us about them. Suratul Jinn. There is even the place called Masjidul Jinn, the place where the Prophet went to address the jinn. The Prophet addressed the jinns. And the one who went with him, radiallahu anhu, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, Abu Abdurrahman, he said it. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said, the Prophet told me to stay here. And he ruled a circle around me. And said, Ibn Mas'ud, don't go out of this circle. No matter this circle, don't go out. He said, the Prophet went further. He said, after the Prophet left me, I began to feel that some things are passing around me. Ibn Mas'ud said so. He said, if it were not that he had told me not to go out of this circle. So someone denying the jinns, who are Yahsibu ala Shaykh? So the genes exist. Abba Aisha. Jinns exist. And the reason why they are called the jinns is because we do not see them. From Jannah. Jannah. We do not see them. But they see us. يَرَوْنَكُمْ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا تَرَوْنَهُ. They see you himself and his children, descendants. They see you from the angles from where you do not see them. Allah gives them a lot of opportunities, abilities. You can transform anything they wish. Yes. The Prophet grabbed one. Alayhi salatu wasalam. The Prophet was making tahajjud alayhi salatu wasalam in the masjid. A jinn came to his feet. The Prophet grabbed him. He said, but I remember my brother, Sulaiman. Mulkan la yanbaghi li ahadin min ba'di. Oh Allah, give me his sovereignty. The kind of which you will not give anyone. He said, I left him. He said, I felt the coldness in my hand. The Prophet said so. Alayhi salatu wasalam. There are jinns, ikhwan. There are jinns. I remember vividly that when this person who said so, when he said it, I said, you will be, you are not saying what you are saying except that there is a jinn with you. The reason why you say what you say is because there is a jinn with you. I think you have to seek Allah's forgiveness. Of course, don't we have our jinns? It sounds like a difficult statement, but it's not a difficult thing. Every one of us go around with our qareen. Including the Prophet himself, alayhi salatu wasalam. Aisha asked him, you too? He said, I have too. It's lacking, but my own became a Muslim. And he cannot command me except khayf. It means our own command us anything they like. That we don't fall prey to them is in the hands of Allah. There is tawfiq. When people say something sometimes, remember they have their qareen with them. Their qareen will tell them, say that democracy is better than 30 years of khilafah. Their qareen told them to say, and they followed the qareen, to say this statement of kufr. Say that the Malanon society will destroy riba. Now riba is flourishing. Say it. They will say it. The qareen tells people to do a lot of evil. They command them to do evil. Also, they may command them to do good sometimes. This way and that way. So there are jinns, ikhwan. Don't ever deny it. There are too many evidences to prove. I'm sure we've mentioned some of them as we discussed. So al-Iman bi kulli ma akhbara bihi Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam min al-nasiha. Don't say ad-dinu nasiha, thinking that no, there is no nasiha yet until you believe in everything the Prophet says. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Everything that he says. Authentic. Just ask, please, is he authentic? Don't forget, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal told us, alayhi rahmatullah, even when you don't understand it, he said, just believe it. Is yakfika al-Iman bihi. It suffices you to just believe it. That's how it happened. How many things have they said that you have not understood? Any person who says he's a professor of mathematics, it is not everything in mathematics that he understands. There are billion formulas when we did mathematics, you will not understand it, but you cram it like that. People do mathematics, part one, first year, second, third year in university. You do something, you do not understand something, you say, just cram it like that. And you cram it like that. If you don't cram it like that, you cram problem. Problem will cram you. You did not say, well, I don't believe that it is true. Do you do that? In fact, even when it has to do with proving a formula, in the end you write QED, quote around demonstrating, right? So when you do that, sometimes you still do not agree, but you just have to take it like that. Those constants they give you, is it all the constants that you agree that it should be, they should be constants? But if you don't use them, you will have wrong calculations. So even in the matters of the dunya, it is not everything we understand. So why do you think in the matters of the dunya, you must understand everything? So in the matters of the dunya, you subject your intellect to those people who are controlling it. But in the matters of the akhirah, Allah and His Messenger, Allah gave you the intellect. And He says, submit those intellects to me and to what I say to you. He said, no, you don't agree because you are a professor. Are you not ashamed of yourself? So the crux of the discussion is al imanu bi kulli ma akhbara bihi ar rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. The Prophet said alayhi salatu wasalam, he said habbatu sawda shifa'un li kulli shay'in illa as-sam. Qila wa ma as-sam ya rasul? Qala al-maut. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam, habbatu sawda, the black seed or the black oil, shifa'un li kulli shay, be cure for everything except psalm. Psalm, they did not know what is psalm, so they asked him, alayhi salam, what is psalm ya Rasulullah? What is psalm? He says, al-maut. What habbatu sawda does not cure, it's what? So don't say HIV does not have a cure. Don't even say it does not have a known cure. This kalam imani now. It differentiates between the doctor who is a Muslim and the doctor who is a kafir. It has a cure. The cure is in Habba. He said also, alayhi salatu wasalam, ma uzzamzam lima shuriba lahu. Ma uzzamzam lima shuriba lahu. Zamzam water, let it be for what for which it is drunk. If you drink Zamzam for anything, that thing is like that. Al-Imam al-Hafiz ibn Hajar, the Sheikh al-Albani alayhi rahmatullah, he said, لَمْ تَلِدْ إِمْرَأَةٍ بَعَدَهُ مِثْلَهُ. Ibn Hajar, who did Fath al-Bari, Sheikh Hussain Muslim, I think he Jalum. The ulama referred to this as Encyclopedia of Islam. Or Musa Sunnah, Fath al-Bari. He wrote the book over 25 years. Comment yourself. You know what he did? He read about Al-Imam al-Zahdi, alayhi rahmatullah, Ahmad ibn Muhammad, Shamsuddin al-Zahdi. When he read about him, he said, Allah, I want to be like Zahdi. I want to be like this man. So when he went to Hajj, he was drinking Zamzam. And all he was telling Allah is, I want to be like Zahdi. I want to be like Zahdi. Ulama say, you have already surpassed Zahdi. He became like Zahdi, he surpassed Zahdi. Such that in the history of Islamists, if they say Al-Hafiz, you don't ask which one. You say it is, there is no Al-Hafiz, except that Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar. Alayhi rahmatullah. Imam al-Muhaddisi. That's why, Sheikh al-Albani alayhi rahmatullah, he said, لَمْ تَلِدْ إِمْرَأَةٌ مِثْلَهُ بَعْدَهُ. No woman has given birth to the kind of Ibn Hajar after Ibn Hajar. You may wonder how. Just think along this line. Pick any encyclopedia that you know. Look at it. Look at the subject in it. Imagine that it was written by a single man. How is that? Do you understand what I'm saying? Pick any encyclopedia. And imagine that that encyclopedia was written by a single man. But it will be difficult for it to really picture. Because in any encyclopedia, some of the papers are written by over 3, 4, 5 professors, specialists in the field. In fact, not just in the field as a whole, if they are perhaps geologists, they will be specialists in maybe paleontology. In paleontology, there are specialists in microfossils. In microfossils, there are specialists in, so like that. You know the way this knowledge is. The further you go, the lesser you know. Somebody can be a professor of biology. Biology generally. So when you think biology, you think a master's degree, you think an ant. In PhD, you think the leg of an ant. So if you ask him, what about the snake? He said, no, I'm a specialist in ants. Meanwhile, that is when he gets more arrogant. People say, celebrate, yo, you see a video. He starts celebrating. He gets more arrogant and more close to being ignorant. So he forgets. So when he was in the BSc, he did biology. He knows plants, he knows cow, he knows every kind of animal. When he did MSc, he gets, if all of that comes into one small thing, ants. And from ants, the leg of the ant. And from the left, you know there are some extensions. You see, I'm the professor of the extensions of the leg of Khan. So when they say the prophet says, sallallahu, to me, I don't agree. Who are you? We ask Allah to make us understand better than we have said. The basis of what all we say is, there is no nasiha. There is no nasiha to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Except that we have an iman bi kulli ma akhbara bihi Rasul alayhi wa sallam. So when he says, ba'u zamzam lima shuriba lahu, it is like that. There are cases, people have HIVs and go to take zamzam, Allah makes it like that. It's not only Ibn Hajar, Imam al-Suyuti, the same thing. There is no aspect of Islamic knowledge except that Suyuti has a work. In Nahu he wrote, Balaga he wrote, in Badi he wrote. These three aspects of Balaga he wrote. If you come to Arabic grammar, in Adab he wrote different aspects. He even compiled a dictionary. Imam al-Suyuti, alayhi rahmatullah, he put it aside. All the Kutub al-Sitta, Imam al-Suyuti has sharh for them. There is no aspect of the science of hadith, but Suyuti has a book on it. Book. And ulama say that the aspects of the science of hadith are about 43 subjects. On each of these, he has a book. On each aspect. He even now has a book on smaller aspects. Like he wrote a book on Ashab Rasul Salah, his companion. He wrote a book also on Asma'u man dakhala Misra min Ashab Rasul. The names of those who came to Egypt among the companions. Like that, different aspects. You know why? See himself? He was asked, from where did you gain all this knowledge? He said, I drank Zamzam, and when I was drinking it, I was praying that I want to be like Ibn Hajar. Try it and see, ikhwan. Don't doubt it. Ma'u Zamzam lima shuribala. Zamzam will be for whatever you drink it for. You drink Zamzam, go to its source, it's the best. Let me say this once. Leave Zamzam. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one day someone came to him and complained of headache. He told him, say, collect a spittle to your hand. Touch the earth by it. You know what I'm saying? Collected his, this hadith is in Sahih Muslim. So don't say, is this Sahih? If Sahih is in Sahih Muslim. If you collect a spittle on your hand, touch the earth by it and say these words. He says, what are the words? He says, Bismillah. Kurbatu ardina. Riqatu ahadina. Wa turbatu ardina. Tushfa bihi saqimuna bi izni rajina. He said, the spittle of one of us and the sand from our ground. Tushfa bihi saqimuna. One of us will be cured by it, the Ibn Rabjina, by the permission of our Lord. They touched the place with it. The person said, I touched it and my pains went away. It's dua for us. وَمَا رَسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِ. This is from the Rahmah. That is not to say to go to Chika. It's not soon now. It can be understood from that by mind. The mind can come and say, oh, are you saying we should not go? That one too is sunnah. Every aspect of seeking cure that is not haram is sunnah. Every aspect of seeking cure that is not haram is sunnah. Every aspect of seeking cure for an illness, we've known this is how to seek cure for this illness. And it is not a prohibited way of seeking cure, because there are prohibited ways of seeking cure. That way of seeking cure is also halal, it's sunnah too. So don't say this one is not sunnah. That one too is sunnah. The one who has a surgery in his ears to be made, that he goes to the one who will make the surgery is from the sunnah. Because he told us to seek cure, alayhi salam. So there is no illness except that Allah has revealed, has sent down with it, it's cure. Did he tell you that it is only Zamzam that is cure? Did he say it is only Habba to tell that? In all of it, that is cure. In all of it, that is cure. But don't say, oh, there's no cure in Zamzam. Ha, there's billion cure in it. The Muslims say there is no prayer in Zamzam, we'll be asking about his Islam. Firstly, we'll tell him this is what Prophet says. Allah. He says, I don't understand, we live in. If he says something, we'll still be giving him excuse, but it will make us know where he belongs. So all these things are like that. Let's not forget. But this is of all of these things. Al imanu bi kulli ma akhbara bihi an nabiyyu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Believing completely without any doubt in all of what the Prophet says. Alayhi salatu wa sallam. I would like to stop there, inshallah. Kullu ma akulu hada wa astakbiru la ilaha illa anta. Alaykum as-salam. We have not even called for questions. Now, bismillah.
I want to ask if this hadith that you were talking about to tell us about concerning the Abdullah is when it comes to Salah talking, not to go to the second. Is it the source of that hadith in Muslim? Where Abdullah is talking about the continuing to ask for the plan to go to the second. And the first down to telling them about telling the Muslims not to eat the bone, that any bone that is eating the meat in front of the king. Is it the source of the hadith?
Well, I don't know now. Why it is connected to what you are narrating. But the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam had many, many curious of contact with the jinn. He had many pure, there is the one that in the night he wanted to perform salat al-Isha. And there was rain, everywhere was dark. They were looking for the Prophet, they didn't see him. That one is different from the one that he was telling one of them, come follow me. He had many periods of interactions. Many curious of when he was coming also from Taif, he stayed where he was resting. The jinns they came, he made sermon to them. Only Allah knows whether this is true. There was a time when we were in the university, a jinn was said to be saying on the radio, you hear what I'm saying? It was to be casted off from somebody, and it was being recorded. You know, jinns lie. So I'm just saying this alaba the shikaya, just narrating. So the jinn was saying that he has lived for about 6,000 years or so, and that he was from amongst those who was addressed by the Prophet. If it is true, if it is not true, it does not increase or reduce our iman. Not knowing it does not harm us. Knowing it does not do anything to us. I'm just saying it's alaba the shikaya. So I wouldn't know whether that I mentioned is connected to it. Allahu Akbar. Alaykum salam. So what's the question? Well, this is one area that you find so many things in it. It is difficult to say it's not possible for us to hold it. And at the same time, it's difficult to say categorically that you can do it. So the other way, you can't say categorically, but there are things that makes you feel like that it is possible. Because people like Imam Ibn Taymiyyah, alayhi rahmatullah, have mentioned talks with jinn. It was said that once a jinn came to Ibn Taymiyyah in the face of Ibn Taymiyyah, alayhi rahmatullah. So when he's looking at it, it's as if he's seen himself. He was talking to him. He stood up and went after they finished the session. So, and then things like completely black cats, completely black dogs, that do not have anything on them except black, are considered jinns too. And you see that those things have essence. They have a substance, they have a form. I mean, that is grabbable. So Allahu A'lam, it may be difficult to make a categorical statement on that.
Why I ask the question?
No, don't say why you ask the question.
No, I want to raise the very serious, I don't want to ask that question.
Okay.
The man came from one kid that I remember, I think, from the Lewa obligated. So in many ways, our gene cannot enter we because we are more stronger than them. That was why I had a long time with them. You know, they cannot enter our blessing. Allah is still stronger than them. You know how.
What is the evidence that Allah created us stronger than them? When Iblis was saying to Allah, like Allah told us in Surah As-Sad, that خَلَقْتَنِي مِنْ نَارٍ, what is the beginning of that verse? أَنَا خَيْرٌ مِنْهُ. Did Allah say La? Did Allah make nafi of that statement of Iblis? Do you understand what we are saying? There are some ahkalib with which the Quran comes. When the people say, مَا لِهَذَا الرَّسُولِ يَمْشِي يَأْكُلُ الطَّعَامُ وَيَمْشِي فِي الْأَسْوَاقِ, what did Allah say to them? What did Allah say? They say, why is this the Quran being revealed gradually to a messenger, to a man who walks on the streets and he goes into the market, he eats food? Why is it? Allah did not refute it. So the ulama say, when Allah mentions what some people say that is wrong, he would not leave it subhanahu wa ta'ala like that he refutes it. When Allah mentions anything that some people say, maybe the kuffar, they say something. وَلَا إِنْ سَأَلْتَهُمْ مَنْ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ لَيَقُولُونَ اللَّهِ قُلِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ بَلْ أَكْثَرُهُمْ. So when we mention what they say that affirms to the truth, say, ask them again. So Allah does not mention what some people say that is wrong, and he does not refute it. If he mentions two, three things they say, he refutes two, know that that's why he has not refuted, it's a truth. So when Shaitan said, Kana khairu minhu, Allah did not say, Lasta khairu minhu. Allah did not make a nephew of khairiyya that Iblis is claiming. Rather, what did he say to him? He said, go out of this place. خَلَقْتَنِي مِنْ نَارٍ وَخَلَقْتَهُ مِنْ تِينٍ قَالَ فَخْرُجْ مِنْهَا فَإِنَّكَ رَجِيمٌ وَإِنَّ عَلَيْكَ لَعْنَتِي إِلَى يَوْمِ يُبْعَثُونَ. Allah did not refute the fact that Iblis is saying that he's better than Adam because he was created from fire. So ulama say that is evidence. There's now someone comes and says, no, mankind is better than the gene is stronger in terms of that. I do not know what the evidence for that. Except if it meant that because of our ibadah, Allah made tafdeel for us. Do we understand? Allah made tafdeel for us. It says, لَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمْ حَمَلْنَاهُمْ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ وَرَزَقْنَاهُمْ مِنَ الطَّيِّبَاتِ. It says, وَفَضَّلْنَاهُمْ عَلَىٰ كَثِيرٍ مِمَّا خَلَقْنَا. From this aspect of ibadah and all these, and all other things Allah has given us. But from what we are created from, there is no evidence to say that mankind is stronger than the jinns. So, and if he now intends that, no, he's saying that the Muslims, pious people, are stronger than the jinns, and the jinns cannot occupy them. Well, if you say a pious Muslim, you say yes. It is difficult for a Jew to occupy a power system. Because you say it's Azkar, you say Atal Kursi. It makes us understand that the one who reads Atal Kursi in the day cannot be occupied by the Jew. He says Azkar is going out. He says it's Azkar. He's coming into this house. He comes into that, he makes the scene. He wants to go out, he's making Azkar. Bismillah, tawakkal to Allah, wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. He goes into the bathroom, he says Azkar. He comes out of the bathroom, he says Azkar. He wants to eat, he says Azkar. So how will the jinn occupy him? If it is from this angle, it is also correct. But that generally jinns don't occupy people. People like Ibn Taymiyyah alayhi rahmatullah have books on this. The fact that the jinns occupy humans. And they cause a lot of harm to them. In the Arab world, to say junoon, and refer to somebody as majnoon, mad, insane, even when the madness is not from that the jinn occupies the person or comes into the person. Do you understand? That word itself makes us understand that to say a majnoon is that a jinn can occupy the person. because they refer to those who are insane as Majani, that is those occupied by the jinn. So Allahu Alam regarding that. Alaykum Salaam. Before you enter, there is a riwayah in Adab al-Mufrad of Al-Imam al-Bukhari that makes tafreesh. The others just use zuruf, zarf, iza, dakhala ahadukum al-khala. This is the sika that missed of the Quran. Iza also is zarf. Zarf, it could mean shortly before, during, and shortly when you are inside. But the riwayah in Adab al-Mufrad of Al-Imam al-Bukhari that says qabla ad-dukhul, before you enter. So that makes us understand. But in case someone does not say before he comes in, if he's inside too, he can say it. Al-Imam al-Shawkani said that. If someone is inside, he did not say it before entering, he can say it to himself when he goes into the bathroom. And that still allows us. Allahu Alam. Alaykum As-Salaam wa
Rahmatullah. So I also want to know the disposition of Islam as regards to incarnation. Genes. There are cases where someone who have been reported dead and someone who goes to...
They are lies. Their life. Al-Imam Ibn Taymiyyah said a lot of things regarding things like that in his book Al-Furqan, Bayna Awliya Ar-Rahman wa Awliya Ash-Shaytan. Their life. There is nothing like reincarnation. Anybody who dies has died and gone. But the jinns play with the intelligence of the people. He mentioned a case in Egypt in Al-Furqan, alayhi rahmatullah. He mentioned a case in Egypt where a jinn appeared to a sheikh, so-called sheikh, and told him that, don't worry, if you die, you will be the one who will get yourself prepared for burial, for funeral. Do you understand? Someone dies, he himself will prepare himself. So he will have two essence. One dead essence, and one essence that is alive. So the sheikh, the stupid sheikh, believed that and died upon it. He believed and died like that. Ibn Taymiyyah is reporting that, alayhi rahmatullah, in his book, Al-Furqan. He said, when the sheikh died, and his people in his household are trying to prepare him, he just saw a man walk into the house, looking like him. He looked everything, like, if you look at the dead person, one alive, the same thing. He didn't want to prepare the cause. Did he want even enter and cohabitate with the wives of that man? Look at Iblis. It's Talbis. Love God alayhim Iblis. وَلَقَدْ صَدَّقُوا عَلَيْهِمْ إِبْلِيسُ ظَنَّهُ فَاتَّبَعُوهُ إِلَّا فَرِيقًا مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَمَا كَانَ لَهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنْ سُلْطَانٍ إِلَّا لِنَعْلَمَ مَنْ يُؤْمِنُ بِالْآخِرَةِ وَمَنْ هُوَ مِنْهَا فِي شَكٍّ وَرَبُّكَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ حَفِيظٌ. Allah says, لَقَدْ صَدَّقَ عَلَيْهِمْ إِبْلِيسُ ظَنَّهُ. What Iblis was being proud about, that he's going to deal with it, he's going to show them. For these kind of people, صَدَّقَ عَلَيْهِمْ. Those his thoughts, he had fulfilled it over those people. فَتَّبَعُوا, so they followed him. Those who didn't follow him are فَرِيقًا مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Believers. See, وَمَنْ كَانَ لَهُ عَلَيْهِمْ. Those people who even followed Iblis. Iblis did not have anything of them. Means to turn him in any sense in terms of authority. He does not have it over them. إِلَّا لِنَعْلَمَ مَنْ يُؤْمِنُ بِالْآخِرَةِ مِنْ مَنْ هُوَ مِنْ هَافِي شَكْ. But you want to use those things to know who actually believes in the partner. In the day of Qiyamah, they will be rewarded for each of what they did. That shaykh, that jinn came, deceived him, made him die upon that kind of a belief of reincarnation. And then, thinking that he will get himself, you know, he has died, he has finished with him. So Ibn Taymiyyah says, alayhi rahmatullah, the Hafiz Shaykh al-Islam, Imam, says, when he finished with the sheikh and killed the sheikh, he also wants to finish and kill the household of the sheikh, because they will believe it. You understand? They will believe that the sheikh came. So he finished with the sheikh, and the sheikh died, the useless sheikh died. Now he now turned to face those people. So he went to his wife too. So he told his wife, what was yesterday? He said, ah, my husband come. You do yesterday, king. So somebody says, ah, no. The Quran says, no, somebody died, he has died. And they say, no, ah, this one come, oh. This one come. Nari, no. He believes he's joking with their intelligence. So these kind of things happen a lot, even when many of them are lies. If you ask, if somebody tells you that someone told him, if you go to that and say, who told you? That one will say, someone told you. You go to that and say, who told you? A teacher's lie. So there's nothing like reincarnation. Those who believe in reincarnation are the Hindus and the Buddhists. That's why the Sufis believe in it too, because Sufism came from these two religions, Hinduism and Buddhism. The Buddhists have an idea they refer to as karma samsara. So karma means that you will be rewarded. Samsara means that by the time you come later. So they believe that if you act good now, if you come back later, you may come as a king. But if you act badly now, you may come as a lion. So your coming regularly is referred to as what? Samsara. The fact that you are rewarded with good or bad is referred to as what? Karma. So Muslims too, don't say this word again. The law of karma will take place on him. Don't use that word. It's shirk. It's a statement of shirk. The law of karma will surely take place on him. It's a statement of kufur. It's nothing like karma. Karma is a kufrutic idea. An idea of mushriku. So they believe that when you do those things, and Sufiya took from them. That's why they are the ones who believe in all those nonsense. Because those Buddhists believe that if someone now wants to stop that, he wants to stop coming and coming, he wants to live permanently, he has to do some things. So they have words that they chant. They have things that they chant. Shankar too has this idea. Yes, the egg. So for them, you chant. They say when you chant it, you can come together. Yourself, you will come to self-realization. You can realize yourself. It has a terminology I can't remember now. You come into your real self, where you will not feel any difference between you and this block. They say it is like the rivers, different rivers that come into a single ocean. When they go into that ocean, do they still recognize themselves as things that have come from different rivers? They have actually come from different rivers. But the reason why they have not realized that time when they were at different rivers that they are single water is because they have not attained the state of a unit ocean, unit body of water. So they will tell you that you don't know that you are one with this recorder until you have done those things. So it is a matter of try it and see. Kind of thing. So the Sufis believe that too. And that's what they refer to as Al-Wahdatul Wujud. Oneness of everything. One day the evening Allah will look at Sufism. They believe that that's oneness of everything. Every human being is one. So their leader, Ibn Arabi, when he was told about this, he has a book, Futuhatul Mahiyya. He wrote books on things like this. He said, "Kul huwa Allahu ahad," means say that everything is Allah. Say, "Kul huwa Allahu ahad," say that huwa, they say huwa is everything, is Allah. So the Sufis believe that, and if you go further into them, na'udzubillah, may Allah save us from that evil. Their leaders have what they say they give to the followers. If you do it, you go attain that level. You'll be able to see yourself as one with everything. So they ask you, what is it? You say, Allah. What is this book? Allah. This wristwatch? Allah. Computer? Allah. Everything is Allah. So they, if you have not attained that stage, you have not reached, you are still Muridi or follower. So all these people like Gauchi and all these people, that is the level they consider them to have been. At that level, there's no halal and haram for you again. You can sing, you can do anything, you can drink alcohol, you can, because all those things with you, they are one. They picked all those ideas from Hinduism and Buddhism. So that's why the teacher got up from among them. Wa alaykum as-salam. This is the last question, inshallah.
Like the case of the issue of women, you see that they are just like Christians. Maybe
the Prophet said to alayhi salam. He said he will not go like that for you every day. Every day she's cooking, you go to work, you come back, you need food. Sometimes you go to work, you come back, you say, look, me, I'm tired. If you want to cook by yourself, go and food.
Maybe someone is not brought up in a group
like that. Okay.
Then he has gone and seen before. Then he got married. Then maybe the husband tried to put her through. Then he now discovered that the call is not on the right thing. Then she was started crying. And the husband asked her, what is your problem? Now I narrated the story that there was a time he had committed adultery and that's it. Yes. Then now we have arrived again. That's why she was crying. And she begged the husband to forgive her. Then she had not got married when he committed. Yes. And the husband got upset, tried to divorce her. What Islam just advised? How can you advise the husband on that?
You can advise him in many ways. In many ways. If he had asked the woman, firstly, divorce. Divorce in the Sharia is just there for us. Divorce is there. The women are there, the men are there. So the divorce has rules and instructions. And it's actually al-ibaha. So, if a man had asked the woman before marriage, or those who introduced the woman to her, to him, look, I want a virgin girl. And she said she was a virgin. And then he came to find out or from her own confession that she was not a virgin, he has a choice to either keep her or divorce her. So, but if a woman did that kind of a thing and she has repented, Allah will change those things for good. The only thing would have advised that kind of a woman not to have told her husband that kind of a thing. Because it says, alayhi salatu wasalam, that kullu ummati mu'afa illa al-mujahirin. All of my ummah will be forgiven, will be overlooked of their sins, except those who come out and say it. They ask you, who are those? They say, those who, if you commit a sin, they come and say, hey, we commit so-so sin. If you have the opportunity, you would have told her that don't say that kind of a thing. But now that she has said it, the decision is with the man. But he should know that if she has actually repented, that Allah is al-Ghafur al-Rashim. Allah is al-Ghafur al-Rahim. And the man too cannot claim that he had never sinned before. If he himself thinks, how many women has he looked, did he look at on the street before he finally settled for her? Look at this one, I like how, look at this one too. Those are aspects of zina too. Even when the other one is greater. But you should look at himself too as someone who earns. There are other things men, people do that are also wrong. You see a man who shaves his beard. He's abusing his wife that she does not wear hijab. You come. It's common. In the school, you see a brother wearing jeans, tight jeans. He's fighting a sister wearing tight jeans too. He doesn't know that the two of them, they are the same. So we encourage that kind of a man to look more inward and see how to better the affairs of himself and the affairs of that kind of a woman. Allahu Alam. But if he decides that if he feels that some evil has come to him from that, the woman has been unjust to him, kaza, she will never change and all this, then that is his own decision. But the other is our own advice. Alaykum as-salam.
The second one is, maybe the man have a person with the lady. And then when the lady knows that the relationship is now strong and stronger, then and there's an incident happened before the kingdom, before, when the man approached her, that when she was in secondary school, somebody raped her, and then she was rejected, and then delivered that child. Then, but the parents refused her not to marry the person because the person was a Christian then. And then now the lady now returned. When he told the brother that what the brother said,
Actually, we'll say like we said the other time, people should not be saying things like that. People should not be saying things like that about themselves to people. But you also find out that many times it's common in the so-called MSS brothers. They used to be so close to the sister that they can ask them any question. Don't be surprised. A MSS brother can ask the sister, "Sister, have you ever done something?" They can do it. So that kind of a sister should not tell them things like that. And things like this are happening because parents have left their responsibility. If parents are up to their responsibility, who gave one brother any right to come and be asking someone's daughter, okay, excuse me, please, sister? But because the father too did not guide the girl to the path of the deen. So when those so-called brothers are doing this rubbish with her, she's thinking that it's from the deen. Because she sees them as her lord, quote-unquote. She made her to know Islam. The father didn't do the responsibility. Hey, somebody go and meet a sister who is well-learned and cultured about Islam before she left her sister. And please, and that's why in parts of the Arab world, as people complain, as much complaint as people make about the Arab world, it's difficult for you to stop a girl on the road. You can't even say, excuse me, excuse what? You can't. The state of the community will make you know that no, you can't try this here. So if you want to marry a woman, you'll be following her about. If you see her house in here, go and start looking for people who know her. And things like that are even strange. So I think things like this are happening because of the kind of large duties that have occurred in our community. So in the first place, a woman should not say things like that. But now she has said it. So those brothers should fear Allah, the second aspect of the nasiha, and do not tell the people about her. You know, she has been like this. And now that she has been changed, it's like she has never done it before. It's like she has never done it before.
What of the child is that for the
child? There is Waladu Zina is her child. If the child's name is Zainab and she is Rukaya, the child with the very name Zainab Rukaya, it's her child. The fact that she has had a child does not mean she can't be better than a woman who was married as a virgin. It doesn't mean she can't be better than the woman who was married as a virgin. So it does not destroy her altogether as a Muslim. Just today, the Imam of the Masjid where Michael Jackson prays wrote a letter to the family of Michael Jackson that they are sorry they have not been close to him and all these kind of things. They are going to take care of this funeral now, according to what they said today on the news. That's it. The Muslims, the Imam of the Masjid, they wrote a letter that he accepted Islam and they agreed to that. So they are now apologizing because they left him. So he was now saying that the Muslims should overlook him. They are a finger and all this. Of course, if he has Kalima La ilaha illallah, we hope he had had it. So that all the way he had lived will not be a waste. It would be too bad if he had died as a non-Muslim. SubhanAllah, when we were younger than this, very young, and the kind of environment people grew up. You see, when people see Michael Jackson, they tear their clothes. Women, men, they shout out. They go mad. If he had done all these, he started people to all of these, and he had heard that none of them, I'm sorry for him. Sorry for him. But if he had died as a Muslim, we'll be praying Allah's mercy for him and forgiveness for all this. If he had died, even if it were just a few moments before his death, he accepted Islam, there's hope for him. Despite all of these evils he had done in the past. He did many funny things. When they released Thriller, some Muslims became Thriller themselves. They became like those jeans they use in the scene. So he had done a lot of things. If he had died as a Muslim, we ask Allah to forgive him. And we envisage and hope that Allah will forgive him. So سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.
بابا إيش
الحمد لله.